All right, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 as we continue along in our study. I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying my time here. And there's so much because I've been working ahead and just the stuff that the Lord's been teaching me in my life, I praise the Lord for it. We're going to look at two verses today, but I want to read all 10 verses, but we're going to just take 6 and 7 and look at them today. We'll start reading in verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to be here this morning in River Valley Baptist Church, to be gathered together, Lord, here in Woodstock, New Brunswick. Lord, we thank you for this church that you've placed here for this time. Lord, we know the times have changed. And Father, it seems like it's closing in on us. The world is, but Father, help us to be true and faithful to your word, to your teaching. Father, help us to be an example to others. Help us to be a church that is an example, Father, to other churches that they will follow. Lord, I think of other churches that this morning, as I was trying to reach out to be an encouragement to other pastors, Lord, I think of those churches in other areas around the Maritimes and in Maine. Lord, as a small pockets of believers, small churches, Lord, desiring to serve you, desiring to please you, and to be a light shining in their communities, Lord. And I pray that you be with them. I pray, Lord, that our church would be an example to them, would be an encouragement to them, Father. They would be able to look to us and say, there's a church standing strong and faithful. And Lord, that would encourage them. Now, Lord, as we look to your word, I pray, Father, that you'd use me as a vessel that only you can use, Father. And I pray that you just keep all distractions away. And Father, I pray that you just push the thoughts out of our minds, Father, that should not be there. And Father, if there's something that I say, I mean this, Lord, that would offend somebody, I pray, Lord, that I wouldn't be the one saying it. But Lord, if you need to arrest the hearts of your people, I pray that you would do it today. Lord, I pray that I would not say something, Lord, that I shouldn't say. And I pray, Lord, that I wouldn't hold back from saying something that I need to say that you want me to say. Lord, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verses 6 and 7 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word and much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. A role model is a very important thing, is it not? Having the right kind of role models. I look back in my life, and I praise the Lord for the men and women that God has placed in my life, that they were role models to me, that I look to. And to this day, sometimes I look back on their example. Many of them have gone on to be with the Lord now. But I look back at the example that they were in my life. Yesterday would have been 5 years since Mom has passed away. I'm going on, graduated to glory, and she's up in heaven. And I believe she's very interested in what's taking place on earth because she still has family here. Now, I don't think people in heaven are completely distracted by what's going on earth, but certainly they're aware of what's going on earth. Because the Bible says that all heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance. So we know that when somebody gets saved, they understand in heaven that somebody got saved. We sing the song, there's a new name written down in glory. Praise the Lord. They understand that, hey, I don't know if the horns are sound, the trumpet's blown, and they say, listen, to pay attention. We're recording another name. And man, the heaven, can you imagine this? You say, well, isn't it something? We look at it as this. We look at it as we had a few people get saved this year, and we say, praise the Lord. But can you, every day, probably every minute, around the world somewhere, somebody's getting saved. Amen. So heaven's not just, they're not just sitting around waiting. It's a place of rejoicing. When people are getting saved, they're rejoicing and praising the Lord about people getting saved. And can you imagine that somebody, like I'll use mom for an example. Somebody said, hey, guess what? Your grandson's name was just recorded. His name is written down. I think that's a time of rejoicing in heaven. That's a time of rejoicing. I think of those examples. I talk many times about Dr. Alan Dickerson and his example in my life and how just by his way of kidding, he convicted me, the Holy Spirit convicted me as a little boy to pray more. Parents, can I tell you something? Your kids need to spend more time in prayer. You need to encourage them to pray. You say, well, mine are too little. They're never too little to start. I can remember ours just acting like they were praying. And I say, praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord when I see a little boy acting like he's preaching. Or I praise the Lord in the mornings when I see a little boy that opens the Bible and he starts going through the Bible with his finger like this. And he can't read a word in there, but he's following through because he sees others that are doing it. We need to have good role models. We need to have good examples. You know, it's very important. It demonstrates what can be done. It provides direction for what should be done. And it inspires one to do what ought to be done. Amen. That is a good example. That is a good role model. So we see some interesting instructions to this church here. As the Bible says in the church of the Thessalonians, this was a young church. It was not that old at this time. They were growing. They had just it says in verse 9 how they were idol worshipers. They turned to God from their idols to serve the living and true God. So they were up until this point, they were just pagans looking to something gods that were, they were nothing and worshiping them and bowing down to them. And now all of a sudden, they are looking to the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 6, it says this, and ye became followers of us. And ye became followers of us. Now, this does not mean that they became followers of Paul, Silas, and Timothy in the sense that they had set themselves up as teachers or as the head of a sect or a cult or they imitated that their manner of living. I've seen a lot of times when a popular preacher gains popularity that there's a lot of preachers that spring out of him and all of them actually mimic everything that he does in the pulpit. They say certain words the way he does. They pray certain ways that he does. I'm thinking of a preacher right now that a lot of times in his message, it is him. This is the man who he is. He's not copying anybody. But he says, hey, a lot of times in his message. And so then a lot of young preachers look to him, and he's a good preacher, and they start saying, hey, a lot in their messages because they're mimicking somebody else. Well, I would say there's a lot worse things they could do, but don't be trying to mimic somebody else in their actions and their words. That's not what it's saying here. Ye became followers of us. They believed the same truths. They walked in the same way. The way, which is the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord. Not in man's ways. They're not, no longer are they just following the crowd of the city of Thessalonica that they were given over to idolatry here. No longer are they following and getting up in the morning and bowing down. No longer are they holding and hanging their idols in their windows. But now there's something different. And yes, they're following somebody who is teaching them the way of the cross. I love the song that we sing, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads. Hopefully that's in our book. If it is, we need to sing that one. Amen. 'Tis sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. They walked in the same way. They minded the same things. knowing that our doctrine was of the Lord and that the way in which we walked was, they're saying, we're following you because you are following the Lord Jesus Christ and his teachings. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, I've heard preachers say this. You follow me, period. You follow me. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, you can have a preacher, you can have a pastor, that is the leader of the church that God has placed there. But when he's no longer preaching the word of God, then you shouldn't be following that man. You should be following the word of God. Verse 17 says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere and every church. We see also over in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 11, where he says, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. I might have misquoted that. In verse 2 of that verse, it says, now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. And so he's saying, I am preaching the word of God. Can I say today, this is the word of God. You should follow what I'm preaching. In other words, you should follow what I'm saying because it's the word of God. It's not Andrew Nisley's words. It's not what I'm saying that you're holding to, but it's the word of God. Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, you say, well, we need to follow men because if they're godly men, we need to follow them. No, you need to follow an example of a godly man. But remember, the apostle Paul. There was a little bit difference there. There was some difference. Does the person you imitate or follow make you more like Christ, or do they make you more like the world? Do they make you feel better about yourself, or do they increase your love for God? It says in the very next chapter of chapter 2 in verse 10, where it says, ye are witnesses and God also. So you are the witnesses, but not only you, but God is my witness as well. He says, how holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. Psalms 118 verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The very next verse says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And so we don't put confidence in man because man will let you down. I can give you name after name of people in my life that were examples. They were role models to me that I look to and I still highly respect to this day. But I can also give you names of people that were role models to me that I would no longer follow their example. Because their example isn't the way of the cross. Their example isn't the way of the Lord. And so that becomes when you become more spiritual. That comes when you grow. You're no longer just following a man and a man's ideas and a man's way. You're following the Lord. And yes, if you're on the same road, that same way. In other words, you're on that straight and narrow path and they're in front of you. You're following along with them. But if they deviate from that, you stay on the straight and narrow. You stay on that same path. The certainty of conversion didn't rest in the preachers, but in the Lord. They weren't Christians because they were following Paul, or because they were following Paul and Timotheus and Silvanus, their actions and doing exactly what they said to do. They weren't Christians because of that. They were Christians because they placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be aware of the power of example. You know, if you use these words or the words of our Lord here where he says that Paul said to follow me as I follow Christ. If you use those words to try to gather a following, you need to beware. You need to beware that you don't use these verses to condone your immaturity or your carnality of following a man. You need to go back and re-examine the scriptures and what they really say. If you want a following, there's a song that it's Doyle Lawson sings. It says, get right with God. Man, I love that song. Get right with God and do it now. Get right with God, and he will show you how. You got to kneel down at the cross where Jesus shed his blood. Get right with God. Get right with God. Many times, Christians, we need to get right with God. We're developing something, a doctrine or theology based off of what we think is best, or a verse of scripture, but we leave a lot of other verses that we don't look to because we can't explain our doctrine if we use those other verses, and we need to be careful about that. They were following Paul as an example. Thessalonica was a wicked city. There wasn't godly examples that they could follow in this city. You see, there wasn't, these people didn't get saved and then say, okay, well, let's go join the church. There was no church to join. There was a church that was birthed by those who were saved. But they didn't look around and say, well, yes, praise the Lord, I'm going to go over to brother so-and-so's and he's been a deacon of the Baptist church over there for so long. They didn't have that. They were following an example. You know, Thessalonica was a wicked city. The Bible tells us in Paul talking about Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you know where he went? He departed unto Thessalonica. That's where he went. That's where the action was. That's where things were happening. It was like people today, you talk to people in the world, it's Las Vegas, man. You got to go to Las Vegas and try your luck out there. Like we were talking yesterday, Josie and I, she's like, I don't believe in luck. But she said, if there was such a thing, you have it when it comes to mowing lawns and breaking windows. See? I know. I broke another one yesterday. Now, praise the Lord. I told Josie, I was like, it's just teaching me patience. I don't know. I've never broken a window in my life. I've been with people, brothers and stuff that have broken them. But I personally never broke them myself. Until this year, I broke two with one lawnmower. It's like killing two birds with one stone. Break two windows with one lawnmower. Anyway, it was two stones, though. I'm not that good yet. Still working on it. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he's departed into Thessalonica. It was the place where things were happening. It was the up-and-coming city where, boy, you could go there, and there was excitement and joy, and it was just a carnival life there. And this is where these Christians were. The lore of the world is always present. We need to find good examples that will lead you to follow Christ even more. Because it goes on to say here in verse 6 where it says, and ye became followers of us. And it goes on, and of the Lord. And of the Lord. By following Paul, you learn to imitate him. Not Paul, but the Lord. Amen. And you see, you should be the example to others. Is when they're following your example, they're following the example of the Lord. Yeah. It's not necessarily your example because you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. In other words, what you're doing, you're showing somebody else how to live like Jesus Christ. You're showing them the way that they should go. The manner in which the Savior lived was a prominent topic, no doubt, of their preaching when they went here. And also, it was one of the means of conversions of the Thessalonians. It was probable that preaching on the pure life, the pure and holy life of our Lord Jesus, might be made of much. We need to make more of it than just following a Jesus. But he is holy. He is holy. Nothing is better adapted to show the evil of our own guilty lives than looking to our Lord Jesus Christ. The contrast between our lives and his life, and nothing can be better fitted to win lost souls to Christ. To understand that I'm not a sinner. Yes, we are sinners. There is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says it over and over and over again. Look to the Lord. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, they were talking here and they were living holy lives as they followed the example of Paul and Timotheus and Silvanus. They were following their examples and it was creating holiness in their life because they were following them and therefore they were following Christ. This was amidst much opposition from others. If you would look back to Acts chapter 17, we find here their account, their testimony of when when they were saved. In Acts chapter 17, Look at verse 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." Verse 8, "And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things." This is where they were living. In other words, when they went to bed at night, somebody was knocking at their door. "We want them out here. We want them out of the city. I don't care if it's feet first. We want them out of here. Get rid of them. We want them gone. Kill them. Whatever we have to do, we want them out of here." Right. This is where these people were living. And we think we have it hard. We don't. Oh, we look to the future and we say, what does the future hold? But maybe we all just look beyond what we think the future holds to what we know what the future holds. The future holds nothing but that blessed hope, amen. The soon return of our Lord. It's the midst of these trials they had become converted, and they seem to have been all the better because of these trials. In this, they were imitators of the Savior and became His followers. Their embracing and holding fast the truths of the faith amidst all this opposition showed that they were controlled by the same principles that He was, and that they were truly His disciples. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." You know, serve the Lord in much opposition. They said they became followers of us and of the Lord. And look what it says, "having received the word in much affliction." Having received the word and much affliction. In the midst of these trials, they're embracing and holding fast to the teachings that they've been taught, not because of these guys were popular, because they weren't popular. They were saying, "Get them out of here, kill them, do whatever." But because the Holy Spirit of God was able to convict their hearts to know what the real truth was. And the Bible says here, this is with joy of the Holy Ghost. With joy of the Holy Ghost, joy produced by the Holy Ghost. Though they were much afflicted and persecuted, there was still joy. No matter what takes place, there was still joy. Acts 8, verse 8, it says, "And there was great joy in that city." Albert Barnes said, "However great may be the trials and persecutions experienced in receiving the gospel, or however numerous and long the sufferings of the subsequent life and consequences of having embraced it, there is a joy in religion that more than overbalances all, and that makes religion the richest of all blessings." Was that ever true? Listen, it will be worth every mile. It will be worth every trial when it's all over, if we live for Him. If we live for Him. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5 says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Acts 13, verse 52, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Filled with joy. Listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. That is our strength. We receive joy when we become a Christian, when we're born again. Can I ask you today, where's your joy? You know, we can go back and see joy, salvation and joy are inseparable. Unless there's sin in our life. As David said in Psalm 51, he said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Right. Christian, do you still have that joy of your salvation today? Or have you lost that joy? You don't lose your salvation. I've dealt with a lot of people who are just miserable. They were saved, and they don't even think they're saved anymore. They're down and everything else because they've lost their joy. They've lost their joy. Why? Because they got too caught up on themselves. Right. They thought they were smarter than God. They got doing things on their way, and they've lost their joy. And they need to repent and get right with God. Matthew 2, verse 10 says, "And when they saw the star," who? Well, the wise men. they rejoice with exceeding great joy. Luke 2 verse 10, talking about the shepherds. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. John 15 verse 11, it says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. It says, and he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Verse 7 is important because it goes on to say, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And I say this, and lastly, they were obedient Christians. They were obedient Christians. You say, well, how do you know that they were obedient Christians? Well, because first of all, God says they were in samples. They were examples. Mark 16, verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you preaching the gospel with your lips? Are you preaching the gospel with your life? You know, that's been said, you are the only Bible that some people might ever read. How are you living your life? They showed that they loved God by obeying His commandments, and doing what God wanted them to do. You know, obeying God and pleasing God is not coming to church. That's obeying God, but pleasing God is doing what He's told us to do. Yes, be faithful to church, to be here when the doors are open. Yes, you should do that. But then go out from here. You enter to worship and you leave to serve. Go out into the world. He tells us in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They showed they were Christians by obeying the Lord's commandments. They showed they were Christians by their love for the brethren. Look in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 2. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. John 13, 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. They were types or models or patterns according to which all churches in Macedonia and Achaia formed their conduct. I wonder if our church was set up and somebody came in here with movie cameras and they said, we're going to go around and we're going to ask you certain questions, and you don't have to give the answer because we have this camera that's actually going to read your mind. He says, so what do you think of your church? Okay. What do you think of the people in, you know, that you come to church? Okay. Now we're going to take that, we're going to take it around to other churches and let it be an example. Would it be a good example? Or would we be like, please don't take that. Please don't take that anywhere. Please don't take that. You know, you've heard the old statement, and I've said it lots of times. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? And you might not be convicted by that, but I'm telling you, when I say that, it convicts me. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? We might say it in a prideful way and say, wow, a wonderful church. I mean, I'm faithful. I give. And boy, start going down the list of the things that we would do as a Pharisee. How good we are, how self-righteous we are. We find here that they were careful in their holy conversation to imitate the good examples of the apostles and ministers of Christ. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. Listen, you're saved. Praise the Lord. You've been placed in a candlestick where you can shine. Not so that it can just be put on a shelf, but so that it can be give light. You've been given light. Now shine forth. when careless and ignorant and immoral persons are turned from their carnal pursuits, idolatry, idol worship, and now all of a sudden, here it is, we understand what the truth is, and we're serving the Lord, and we don't care if the whole city's against us, we don't care if the whole world's against us, we know what is truth, we're saved, and we're going to follow the Lord. You know what we can do today? We can go to the Word of God. And the preacher says something, we say, I see what, yep, that was right. Amen. That's right, preacher. You're right. We know you're right because the Bible, amen. You're right on that. They didn't have that. They didn't have that. They couldn't sit there and Paul didn't get up and turn your scrolls to. No, they didn't have it. We do. I think so many times that we take the Bible for granted so often. We have them, we take them home, and we throw them on a shelf. What kind of example are we being as individuals? What kind of an example are we as a church? Are we a godly example to others to follow? I want to be an encouragement to other churches in the Maritimes and Northern Maine. I love writing out a letter and telling them what's going on in River Valley Baptist Church. Not to brag, but to tell them, hey, we're in the Maritimes too. We're in a very hard place. It's hard. But stay faithful. Serve the Lord. God will bless you. God will bless you as long as you stay faithful to Him. What kind of an example are you to the believers? The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. What kind of example are you being? Are you being a good example? Is your faithfulness to the Lord? Is your faithfulness to the Lord's church? We understand the Lord's church is River Valley Baptist Church. Your faithfulness to His church, is it a good example to the others that see you? What about to the lost? They see us here in church. They know we come to church here. I see people go by all the time that I have told about our church and invited. And while I'm preaching, I see them drive by looking in. Drive off. And I'm like, how you doing? Hey, come on in. Help. We need some help in here. They know what we're doing. Are you being a good example? How about to your neighbors? Have you invited your neighbors to church? Have you given them a gospel tract? And I'm sorry, folks, if you don't care about your neighbors, you're not right with God. Not right with God. That's as simple as I can make it from Scripture. We might go somewhere else. We might come into Woodstock and knock on doors that aren't our neighbors. But our neighbors should be first. We should go to them and knock on their door and tell them about Jesus. Does your holy life that you're living set an example to somebody who was in sin, wicked life that they're living, or maybe they're serving idols and whatever in their life? Is your life an example that they'll want to turn from that and follow Christ? They said they were. And so being, they became Christians and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Someday we'll be able to meet these people. Someday we'll be able to meet them.